Join me in James chapter 5, verse 7. And as you can see, the text will be on the screen. I've had some comments from you that you would like to see this, and so we'll give it a try and see what you think. I'd love to hear your comments afterwards. But before I read this, I know many of you like to know where we're headed next, and as you can see, we're about halfway through the last chapter of the book of James. And so, just to give you an update or a sort of a where we're going type kind of thing, we're headed to the Hallel Psalms, H-A-L-L-E-L, Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. These are the psalms that Jesus sang as he was leaving after the Lord's Supper, and also was a big part of the synagogue worship services that Jesus would have grown up in as a young man. But they are praise psalms, and so we will cover those in a couple of weeks, but just to give you a heads up where we're headed. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Before I start, I want to remind you, just to direct your attention to the title, Patient to the End. One of the things we love talking about, being patient. Being patient, patience means to bear pains or trials calmly or without complaint, to show forbearance under provocation or strain, not hasty or impetuous, steadfast despite opposition, despite difficulty or adversity, able or willing to bear up under. I know all of you know what being patient means. I just wanted to make sure we were understanding the same words of being patient. You would attest, as I would, being patient sometimes is very challenging. Being patient is sometimes overwhelming. Some of you excel at being patient. Some of us fail miserably at being patient. We might laughingly say, don't pray for patience. Because God will only teach patience one way, by giving you an extended opportunity to practice patience. So we don't encourage people to pray for patience. But this is exactly what James is teaching. This is exactly what James is calling on here. He says, be patient. Now, in the Greek language, this phrase is a verb phrase. It is a continuous action phrase, a continuous action verb phrase. It means keep on being patient. It is a continuous act of being patient. It's never to end. But there's something else about the way this is written. It's also an imperative. It's an emphatic statement. It's a command. Be patient. It's an active continuing command, and it's to be lived out daily by we who call ourselves Christians. Be patient. Okay, trying to understand this fully, we ask the question, to what end? What is the objective of James's teaching and this call for patience? Look with me at verse 11. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose. All right, here's the answer to our question. And you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. In the end, in our patience, as we exhibit the ongoing, continuous act of being patient through the challenges, hardships, trials of this life, we will see God's compassion and mercy revealed. It's a command with a promise. It's a command with a promise. James goes on to say, as an example that many of you, all of us know well, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. You also be patient, just as the farmer goes about his work, her work, and understands the sequence of events and the time necessary for the outcome. He says we too are to be patient. Again, the command, a continuous ongoing action. But he adds to it. He says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts. Build up your hearts. Be about the business setting your heart straight and right and good. Establish your hearts. Again, this is the same kind of verb. It's a continuous action verb phrase, and it's a command. Establish your heart. I once heard the story of an old man who was told to get ready for the coming of the Lord, and he quite quickly quipped back to the one telling him. He says, I don't have to get ready if I stay ready. This old gentleman established his heart, and he was expectantly patient. Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? We are in the last days. And just so you know, we've been in the last days since Jesus resurrected. But we are in the last days. Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Are we patient in our struggles? Realizing that these are preparing us for the coming of the Lord. Have we followed this command? Establishing our hearts, doing that which is necessary to build ourselves up, to prepare ourselves, to establish us in the right conduct of life, setting our hearts toward the objective obedience of God. As I said, these are continuous, ongoing commands that are straightforward in their what, but sometimes challenging in their how. But we are to do this. James says in verse 10 through the first part of 11 that I read a portion of here, he says, as an example, I love the practicality of James. He's a practical pastor. He gives the teaching, but he gives us good illustration. Here in verse 10, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, sisters, of course, take the prophets, okay, think Old Testament prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, spoke the very name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast, those blessed who remained patient, waiting on the coming of the Lord in their day, in their way. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. The steadfastness of Job. The patience of Job. Many believe the purpose of the book of Job is to teach patience. Well, it is in a way. However, the message of the patience of Job is only an instrument to get to the real meaning of the book, which supports James' teaching. So, go with me to the book of Job. We're going to cover the book of Job in 10 minutes. 42 chapters. You ready? The book of Job. An incredible teaching of the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So now we have the setting of Job, a righteous man, a prophet of sorts that James is referring to. But look at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Please be clear. Who initiated the issues of which Job are about to face, is about to face? God. Did Job sin and deserve this discipline? Not at all. He was an upright and righteous man. Was he perfect? By no means. He prayed for his children, etc., etc. But here God is bringing to play in Job's life the challenges, the lies, the temptations, the horrors of which only Satan can bring. For what reason? For what reason did he do this? Well, the first two chapters speak of these trials of which Satan would bring to Job, killing everyone and everything that Job had any concern for. Those of you in this room, which probably includes almost everyone, who have lost loved ones most recently, consider losing all of your children, all that you possess. This is where God put Job. Even his wife. Verse 9 of chapter 2, his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Well, now there's a loved one for you. But he said to her, "You speak as one of those foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. See, here's one of the great theological conundrums. I'll get it out. God is not the origin of evil. He cannot. However, in his ordained will, he will allow, just as he has allowed Satan to come and approach Job. Please be clear. What's going on here? Okay, now we ask the question, which is the point we're here. The point of having us here. Why, God? Why did you do this to this man? Why did you call upon Satan to bring his minions, his lies, his threats, his trials, and all of this to Job? If God is so good, why would he do such things as that? You hear that? If God is so good, why would he allow this? A deep chasm there of understanding God. But then we go through the next 35 chapters. 35 chapters of this conversation between Job and his friends, where they try to rationalize, reason, try to understand, try to get some grip as to why this has happened. They blame Job. They blame his surroundings. He didn't have enough faith, etc., etc. It goes on. That's one question I'm going to ask God. Why did you do that for 35 chapters? Bless them. Go away. But go to chapter 38. Here is the reason God brought Satan to Job. Allowed Satan to have his way. Which is challenging for us. We don't think of God in these terms. This is knocking some cobwebs out of our theological thinking. Chapter 38 through chapters 41, God, in short, I'll cut to the chase. He's tired of the nonsensical ramblings of three friends and Job. He says, "Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. And as Linda made reference to this morning in our 9:15 time, God sets out to reveal himself and his might and his power and his majesty so that Job and us realize clearly, succinctly, who God is. And folks, here is the hard part of all this. We spoke of this in Sunday school. God will put you where you need to be to understand who he is. For some of us, that's flat on our face, broken, beaten, gone. And we only have one direction to look. Some of us are pretty hard-headed. It takes a little bit. Some of you are a quicker study. But please know this. If God desires you to know him, he will take you through the necessity, the necessary things, to get you to a place to where you know him. Chapter 42 of Job. Bless Job. He's a good learner. He learns. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Amen, Job. You should have kept your mouth shut. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and will make known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. See, there's the whole point of the book. Job had to get to the place, God wanted Job in the place where he would confess, I had heard of you, but now I've seen you with my eye, and I know you. I despise me, because he's thinking back on all this garbage he had been through, in his empty words. Now here, we see the patience of Job sustaining him through all of this to get to the place where God could teach him. This is James's teaching. Please go back with me to James. That was a little longer than 10 minutes, wasn't it? This is what James is teaching. We are the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the children of God, our Father. And we are his to be used, to be taught, to be disciplined at his discretion. Job was steadfast, and in the end he learned the majesty of God. In his patience he learned the sovereign power of God. In his patience he learned of our Lord's compassion and mercy. If you continue reading chapter 42 of Job, you can't bring your children back. You can't bring your loved ones back. But God can bless you with others around you in so magnificent ways. I can testify to that. So can some of you. James is calling on us to be patient and wait for the glory of God to be revealed in his mercy and in his compassion. But when we aren't patient, when we aren't steadfast, when we haven't established our hearts toward the ways of God, we become irritable. We become anxious, even angry. And it leads to sinful behavior. Verse 9 of the passage I read in James. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Don't let our impatience lead us to sinful behavior. Don't let our lack of understanding the ways of God lead us to things we would do that discredit and dishonor. Is being patient hard? Incredibly. But please know, yes, we are time-based. We look forward to tomorrow. We look forward to next year. We look forward for the days and the weeks to come. But God is not bound by time. Everything God sees is always constantly present time for him. And so all of this is just being in him. And so we must be patient. And we must wait. We must wait for God's glory to be revealed. Also in verse 12, of which I didn't read, I'm not going to get into verse 12. Matthew covers this a lot better. But he says, above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Let your yes be yes or your no be no. Folks, we need to take this strongly. I see in texts, OMG. I know what that means. You're misusing the name of God. I don't even want to say it. Y'all forgive me, won't you? I don't freaking understand this. Do you know what that means? You just don't want to use the F-U word. That's exactly what that phrase means. This is teaching us, let your language be simple, earnest, and understand what you say. And please forgive me for using that phrase. Proverbs 4:23 and following says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Out of our hearts comes who we truly are. Matthew Henry writes, God brought about the things in Job's case so as plainly to prove that he is of tender mercy. This did not appear during his troubles, but was seen in the end. And believers now will find a happy end to their trials. He continues, let us serve our God and bear our trials as those who believe that the end will crown all. Our eternal happiness is safe if we trust all to him. All else is mere vanity, which will soon be done with forever. All the vanities of this world that disguise themselves as promises of hope, which one day will all be burnt and gone away. God called on Satan to challenge his servant. Challenge his servant Job. And folks, everyone in this room has their Job-type story. Whether or not it's as drastic as Job. But we're all there in one way, form, fashion, or another. And God will use that. God will use that. You pray, God, use this. Teach me. Grow me. But just as he showed Job his incredible compassion, his incredible mercy, his incredible reconstituting who he was, he will do that for us. James commands, be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. I pray we do that. I pray we are patient to the end. Let us pray. Father, I am not praying for patience. But I do pray that you would lead us to establish our hearts so that we would find the resolve to wait. And that you would teach us mightily who you are, that we might come to the great and wonderful knowledge of the high and mighty, the majestic, God of all creation, who lowered himself that he might be in person one of us. The intimacy we have with the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. Let us live patiently in that grace. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen and amen.